Isaiah chapter 65, and we want to read at verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick. Now turn back in Isaiah to chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and we want to read at verse 8. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, and we thank you for blessing our hearts already in this service from the prayers that have been prayed and from the music, the song, the choir song. And we do pray that you would open your word to us tonight, because if you don't open it to us, if you don't teach it to us, then we will have met in vain. And we pray that you would help us to sit at your feet for a few moments this evening and hear your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, in our recent messages on Sunday night and Wednesday night, we have been looking into and thinking about six words that we find in Genesis chapter 11. That chapter is where Nimrod, a dictator, a man who is a picture and a type of the Antichrist, who is going to come, began to build his kingdom. And Genesis chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us that the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel. And then in Genesis chapter 11, we get the detail of those words from Genesis chapter 10 and verse 10. What we find in Genesis chapter 11 is how Nimrod built his kingdom. And that's where these six words come into view. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 3, and they had brick for stone. I told you last week, and I left myself a loophole because I said we're going to try to finish our thoughts about freedom and tyranny and these words, brick for stone. I wish I could get my mind around those words. I wish that I could see them and understand and just scratch the surface of them in just a small measure. Because those words, brick for stone, to me are some of the most important words in all the Bible. Just three little words. They summarize the war that has raged and the war that is raging against God. The stone, as we've talked about, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. It pictures his person and his work. It pictures his person. The Lord Jesus Christ is like a stone. He is the Lord. He changes not. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And as the little chorus says, though the world may change and kingdoms fall, he's the rock of ages, all in all. His work we see in the stone, because his work was to go to the cross of Calvary, where God would smite that stone, where God would smite that stone and open a fountain for sin and for uncleanness, where sinners can be washed from their sin in his own blood. I hope that's your testimony tonight, that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he makes us lively stones, living stones. And he builds us up, Peter tells us, a spiritual house built, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:20, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's a reference to the Scriptures. The stone of the Word of God, written. And then Paul says this, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. The church of Jesus Christ. And so the stone is a picture of the Lord. It's a picture of the Word living. The stone is a picture of the Word written. The stone is a picture of the church, built upon the foundation of the stone of the Word of God written, with the stone of the Word living, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And that's how that building fitly joins together. But that's not all. We've talked about how the stone is a picture of truth and freedom and liberty, because those things are found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not find them anywhere else. They're only found in the stone. The stone, as we talked about, I think, last Sunday night, is a picture of man as created by God. God created man in his image. He created him as a unique individual with unalienable rights, life, liberty, the freedom to choose. So those are some of the things that we've talked about regarding the stone. And in the face of all this, we have the brick. Brick that is made by man. Brick that speaks to us of man's order and man's way. Brick for stone. Man in the place of God. Brick that substitutes the group for the individual. Brick that speaks to us of rigid conformity. Rigid conformity. No diversity. Oh, we talk a great deal. We hear a great deal. We don't talk about it. We're the ones that believe in it. But you hear a lot of talk about diversity. But the people that talk about it don't believe in it. We saw that rigid conformity there in Genesis chapter 11. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And what we learn in Genesis chapter 11 is the way that this brick for stone mentality will be spread, how it will be perpetuated. And we want to just think about that a little bit tonight. This message really is preparation for another message. Some things that we want to use as kind of a foundation tonight, particularly one of the verses that we've read. But we learn in Genesis chapter 11 how this brick for stone mentality will be spread, how it will be maintained. And it's through this city, that is made of brick. That's what they did with the brick that they made. They built a city and a tower. And that's how this rigid conformity is going to be maintained and spread down through generation after generation. This city that's made of brick, this tower that is made of brick. We've talked how the word tower means a number of things, and I want to talk about three specific things that I think it refers to. We've talked about how this word tower means rostrum. A rostrum is a lectern, like we have there. It's a lectern that you have in a classroom. And so this brick tower speaks to us of education. And the place where this rigid conformity to man's order and man's way, this rigid conformity to the religion of secular humanism, the place where it's being indoctrinated, and I don't know of a better word to describe it, the place where it is being indoctrinated and inculcated into the minds of this nation is the tower of public education. One of the great ministries of Return America to me, in addition to the things that that Brother Ron gets us to come to let the people in Raleigh and other places in this state know our stand for the Lord. But one of the real blessings of that ministry are the emails that he sends out. I hope you get them, and I hope you look at them, scan over them. If you don't have time to read them in detail, don't delete them. Even I know how to set up a folder, so you don't have to be a computer genius to set up a folder in your email to put these things. And they're tremendous things to read. The information in them is invaluable. I'll give you a couple examples of how education, this tower of education, is being used to spread this rigid conformity to man's order. Just recently, elementary school forced to remove cafeteria plaque that thanks God for the food. We used to pray every day before lunch. The teacher would call on one of us to pray. And we did every day. This was an elementary school in Virginia. They removed a plaque from their cafeteria. And here was the little prayer. It was in Withville, Virginia. Our Father, we thank thee for this food. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies and our lives to thy service. Amen. But you can't have that in public school. And what is so sad about this is that these folks weren't willing to really stand up and fight for it. They gave in to the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I think we've mentioned them before. Here's another one. Middle school teacher places satanic display in City Park. A South Florida middle school teacher is again igniting rage among local Christians by planning a satanic display encouraging children to hail Satan in a public city park during the upcoming Christmas season. Preston Smith, a language arts teacher at Boca Raton Community Middle School, and maybe that's Boca Raton, but is looking to erect a giant 300-pound metal pentagram with messages including, "May the children hail Satan, in Satan we trust, and one nation under Antichrist." The local government, I want you to listen to what they said. We can't say no to this. This guy's going to put this thing up, 300 pounds worth. We can't say no to this. As offensive as it is, our lawyer said, whatever you do, don't do that, because it will be an expensive lawsuit. Amen. Fight it. And by the way, that man is still teaching his religion in that public school there. Listen to this one. First grade teacher tells parents, tell your children to stop talking about God. She wrote a letter home about that. I've had a group of about five students using the words God, Jesus, and devil in conversation. Well, praise the Lord. She had a talk with the children and told them that was inappropriate language for the classroom. A parent complained. A parent there, this was in Indiana, by the way, McCordsville, Indiana. A parent complained to the local Fox News station, and guess what? The school district backtracked. But here's the sad thing. The teacher's still there. And she's going to find a way to get her message out. Pennsylvania school district agrees to allow transgender students to use the restroom of their identity. A school district in Pennsylvania has agreed to allow students who identify as the opposite sex to use the restroom that corresponds with their gender identity. They came to an agreement with the Lamba legal group, the homosexual legal group. This was the Pine Richland School District. And so now they cannot deny transgender students the access and use of restrooms that match a student's consistently and uniformly asserted gender identity. Female elementary school principal transitioning into a man. And she still has her job. Elementary school principal in Massachusetts recently sent an email to parents to announce that she is in the process of transitioning into a man. And so she wanted to give them warning when they see her as her voice changes and she suddenly comes to school with a mustache and she greets them at the front door. She doesn't want them to be surprised by it. And so the sad part is that this is being treated as normal by the people in the school district. University of Michigan professor claims preschool program should teach homosexuality. That's all you need to know about that. Professor is going to be teaching that to future teachers. But this is the one I wanted to take a minute and read. It's the last one on education. Some teachers advising parents that gender-neutral terms will be used in class. In Florida, a fifth-grade teacher sent home a note to parents mandating that students use only politically correct pronouns in class. One thing that you should know about me is that I use gender-neutral terms. My prefix is MX. That's pronounced mix. Now listen to this. I just really got excited when I read this. Not because of what she says, but because of how it ties directly into what we've been talking about. It's an amazing book, by the way. Additionally, my pronouns are they, them, their, instead of he, his, she, hers. Notice that. My pronouns are they, them, their, instead of he, his, she, hers. Notice that she does away with the individual pronouns. She does away with those. She does away with the stone of individuality as God created us. And she replaces it with the brick of the conformity of the group. The groupthink. This is what education is in America. This is the tower, a brick that is being used to keep going and keep putting into the minds of generation after generation this rigid conformity. But I want us to think about another meaning of this word tower. It also refers to an elevated stage. I was thinking about that. An elevated stage is a place where people are entertained. It's a place where plays and programs and other sorts of entertainment takes place. And so it seems to me that by the use of that word, the Spirit of God is bringing before our minds that another place where this rigid conformity to man's order and man's way and the religion of secular humanism is being indoctrinated into the mind of this nation is the tower of the elevated stage, the tower of entertainment, Hollywood, television, movies, music. Listen to this. This is from WorldNet Daily. The entertainment industry is pushing to normalize Satanism in America. By the way, I missed something that I don't want to miss here. The last example from education that I gave you about the pronouns and this gender neutral pronouns that are being used. The Family Research Council, and I appreciate those folks greatly, but I don't agree with their advice to parents about this. It says, it's time for more moms and dads to run for seats on the school board where they can take back control of our classrooms. Folks, that's not going to happen. It's time for moms and dads to get their kids out of the public school. That's what it's time for. It's time to get them in the Christian school. The time for, you know, that was the problem with the Pilgrims and the Puritans. The Puritans, you know, said, hey, we think we can stay here and we can purify the church. The Pilgrims said, no, not going to happen. We got to get out of here. Folks, it's time to come out from among them and be separate. You're not any organization, whether it's a secular organization, whether it is a church, whether it's a school, whatever it is, when that ministry starts down the road of error and evil, I can't think of any case in history where I can think of one that turned back around and came back the other way. So I just saw I had missed that. I wanted to be sure to mention it. But listen to this. The entertainment industry, because we've gone on to the elevated stage here, the entertainment industry is pushing to normalize Satanism in America. The U.S. entertainment industry is entrenched with devil worshipers who are actively working to promote and normalize Satanism in American culture. Carl Payne, he wrote a book called Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, and Deliverance, told WorldNet Daily that Hollywood and the media are programming the public to not only become more secular, but they are desensitizing society to evil. He's right. This is from the LA Times, January 7th of this year. LGBT characters now permeate some of Hollywood's best work. The year 2016 was perhaps the strongest yet for Hollywood depictions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. They're not just comic relief anymore. According to ChristianHeadlines.com, television's fall schedule, the homosexual agenda advances. If the portrayal of homosexuality in the upcoming television season can be described in two words, loud and often, would be the right words to choose. According to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, that's GLAAD is the acronym, the new television schedule is playing their tune, pushing the gay agenda through homosexual characters and storyline. GLAAD just released its annual analysis of LGBT characters on television and declared that this season's lineup marks a critical step forward in representations of same-sex relationships and families. That's because, according to their website, GLAAD works with Hollywood to help create transgender roles and with casting transgender characters. We're talking about outlets here that, in their actions and in their words, present programs and music, movies, lyrics, that promote this fixed and unyielding conformity of the brick for stone mentality. But there's another meaning of this word tower. And it's probably, well, it's not probably, it is the most critical one, I think, to think about. And I mention it last because it's the saddest one to me. The other meaning of this word tower is pulpit. This is the place, another place, the most damaging place where this conformity to man's order and man's way and the religion of secular humanism is being indoctrinated and perpetrated, or perpetuated rather, into the minds of the people of this nation. The tower of religion. Listen to just a couple of examples. Lutheran pastor helps 10-year-old son transition to girl. Pastor of a Lutheran church in New Jersey was recently featured in an online video in which he and his wife told the story of their 10-year-old son, who they have allowed to present as female for the past 2 years. Lutheran church pastor. United Methodist pastor believes pastors should advise more abortions, not less. The Reverend Millie Horning Peters, a Kentucky United Methodist preacher, believes religious leaders should be more involved in promoting abortions and helping women get them, not less abortions. And she's doing that in the face of the United Methodist Church backing away a little bit from its pro-abortion stand in the past. Here's another one from the United Methodist Church. Temporary chapel created in Methodist Church to honor historical homosexuals. The Oscar Wilde Temple will be installed in the Church of the Village in New York City. Artists will create a temporary chapel inside the Methodist Church as a memorial to celebrity homosexuals over the last century. Images of homosexuals from the past will be made to look like their saints. We say, well, that's the Lutherans, that's the Methodists. Here's the Southern Baptist. Southern Baptist military chaplain conducts transgender briefing in Nashville and claims that the briefing did not violate his religious beliefs. Southern Baptist convention makes mistake of endorsing gender-inclusive Bible. The Southern Baptist Convention has endorsed a Bible that belittles specific gender translation words in favor of more general terms like replacing man for mankind. Last fall, the publishing arm of the 15 million member Southern Baptist Convention, think about that, 15 million strong, released the Christian Standard Bible, CSB. And these gender-neutral Bibles, these inclusive translations, they call them, they abolish many gender-specific terms. For example, they may change father to parent, son to child, man to mortal. The Christian Standard Bible now translates the term and it gives the Greek word for man, in a gender-neutral form 151 times, rendering it human, people, and ones. The previous edition had done this on occasion. The new revision adds almost 100 more instances. Men of Israel becomes fellow Israelites. When discussing Jesus' incarnation, the likeness of men becomes likeness of humanity. The Christian Standard Bible translates the term, it gives the Greek word for brother, in a gender-neutral form 106 times, often adding sister. Brotherly love is translated love as brothers and sisters. And this brick tower of rigid and unyielding conformity is within the city. They built the city out of brick. And the message there is that this tower that has this rigid conformity that it is transmitting through education, through entertainment, through the pulpit, it's within the city, it's within the governmental system that endorses and promotes and enforces the same brick of conformity. And it does it through the court system of this nation. You know the decisions that we've had in this country, the decisions to remove the stone of Christianity from the public square, to remove the stone of prayer from the public schools, to remove the stone of Bible reading from the public schools, and replace it with the secular humanistic view of evolution. The decision to replace the individual right to life that begins at the moment of conception with the brick of abortion on demand that's killed nearly 60 million babies since 1973. I heard something very interesting the other day. You know, you hear people say things and you say, boy, I wish I had thought about that. Senator Charles Schumer from New York went to the floor of the Senate a couple of days ago, and he was telling President Trump that if those 58 people could talk that were murdered there in Las Vegas, if those 58 people could talk, they would say to him, get rid of bump stocks. Stand up to the NRA. What you'll never hear Mr. Schumer go to the floor of the Senate and say, and sadly you won't hear any Republicans say it either, is go to the Senate floor and say, you know what? 58 deaths is a horrendous thing, and we regret it. It's sad for those families. But there's 3,000 babies that are murdered in this country every day. And Mr. Schumer, why don't you stand up to Planned Parenthood? Why don't you stand up to Planned Parenthood? Of course, there's the 2015 Supreme Court decision that substituted the brick of same-sex marriage for the stone of marriage as God established it in the beginning between a man and a woman. And you know, that was such an incredible decision. In doing that, the court set aside nearly 6,000 years of human history. And they also set aside the votes of 43 million Americans. That represented over 62% of the people of this nation who voted in 33 state elections. And you know something that I thought about? 33 states. It's almost what it would take to approve a constitutional amendment. It takes 38 states to do that. Only two of the 33 states voted against defining marriage as a union between a man and a woman. That's a 94% approval rate. It only takes 75% to approve a constitutional amendment. Now, I understand these were 33 separate states. But I think it shows a mindset of the people of this country that still wanted to cling to the stone of marriage as God defined it. Supreme Court said, no, we're going to have brick for stone. The brick of same-sex marriage for the stone of marriage as God created it. The brick of the city, the brick of the government system, enforced the rigid conformity of the tower of education and entertainment, religion. They're in perfect harmony with each other. But I want to come back here in Isaiah chapter 9 to verse 10. The bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. The bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. Those words are very important, and they're the ones that we want to focus in on. Because those words present to us, I believe, the subtlety of the deception of our day. The subtlety of the deception of our day. And we want to look at that subtlety. And we want to look at it from a real life example here in the Word of God. But we'll have to do that, Lord willing, next week. But I want to show you the amazing thing here in Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verse 11. Here's the pride and the stoutness of heart of Israel. The bricks are falling down, but we'll build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we'll change them into cedars. Look at verse 11. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together, the Syrians before, the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. God's telling about the judgment that's coming on his people, the nation of Israel. And he's pronounced judgment on this nation. We started these studies in Jeremiah chapter 5 where God said, you remember, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? But in the face of that question to Israel and Judah, and in the face of that question to America, notice the last words of verse 12. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. God's hand is stretched out still to this nation. And we know that because 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the book. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And his hand is not only stretched out still to this nation, his hand is stretched out still to individuals, to whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But remember what we talked about this morning. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you hear it, today, as his hand is stretched out to you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him in repentance and faith and surrender your heart to him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the marvels of your word. We thank you how you put such an incredible message into just three little words, brick for stone. And how those three little words teach us so much and show us so much about the day in which we're living, about the war that has raged against you since the very beginning. We pray that your word would be very precious to us. And we pray that we would value these times that we have to come together and look into it, gather around it, be taught by your Spirit from it. We pray that you would bless this church. Our fear is that sometime in the future, the brick for stone mentality could come here. If we think it can't, it's already on the way. We pray that you would help us to be diligent, to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And having done all to stand, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.